News conference. Sitting in a small anteroom next to the studio where the news conference would take place, Jordan saw on the wall screen that there were nearly 100 news correspondents, bloggers, and chatroom hosts seated out there. Impressive, he thought. But he was more concerned with the arrangements that Otero and his security team had made to spirit him up to Habitat Gandhi immediately after the conference. I've got to get there without Halleck's people knowing it. I've got to spring Aditi free of their clutches. A pair of private security guards sat in the small room with him, two hard-eyed men wearing identical dark jackets and whipcord jeans. And more of their cohorts were outside in the studio, Jordan knew. "Can I ask you a question, sir?" asked one of them. He was tall and lean, with brooding brown eyes and sandy hair cut militarily short. "Certainly," said Jordan. "And my name is Jordan." The man broke into a guarded smile. "Mine's Hamilton. Hamilton Cree." "What do you want to know, Hamilton?" Looking almost troubled, Cree said, "I was with the Highway Patrol detail when you and your wife visited the Rio Grande Gorge a couple weeks ago." Uh-oh, Jordan thought. He wants to find out how human Aditi is. Instead, Cree asked, "Why'd you go to the gorge?" Jordan felt his brows rise. "Why? Because it's one of my favorite places on Earth. I first saw it long before you were born, when I was in the States helping to resettle refugees from the first greenhouse floods."
"You just wanted to see it? Like a tourist?"
"That's right. I wanted my wife to see it. I've got to admit, though, that I was somewhat embarrassed with the officials closing the bridge to everyone else. I thought that was a bit much, actually." Cree nodded slowly.
"Yeah, so did I."
"So you're working with the Unicorn Recovery Agency now?" Glancing at the tiny unicorn emblem on his jacket's breast pocket, Cree said,
"Right. Beats being a highway patrol cop."
Just then Vera Griffin sailed through the door.
"It's showtime," she announced,
looking excited, eager. Jordan got to his feet, as did the two security men. "Time to face the music," he said to himself as they headed for the studio. Carlos Otero watched the news conference from his office, pleased that the rows of seats that had been set across the studio floor were almost entirely filled with interviewers. Eyeing the men and women standing on either side of the seated interviewers, he noted with satisfaction that the Unicorn team was being properly unobtrusive. The first handful of questions were softballs, asking what New Earth was really like and how Jordan felt when he realized the planet was inhabited by human-like people. Then one of the women asked how he felt about being kept separated from his wife. Unsmiling, Jordan said, "Not good. Not good at all." The correspondent countered, "But the World Council people say that it's necessary for her protection, and you should be in protective custody as well." Jordan replied, "Whenever a politician wants to control a person, she claims it's necessary for the person's security. Well, I don't want the World Council's protection, not for me and not for my wife. I want to be free, and above all, I want to be with her." Tensing in his desk chair, Otero shook his head. "Don't let your temper show, Jordan," he warned silently. "Remember, you've agreed with Castiglione to go up to the Habitat to be with your wife. That's our cover story. Don't screw it up." Standing to one side of the rows of seated newspeople, Hamilton Cree saw that a trio of younger people, two women and a man, seated in one of the rearmost rows, had their heads together. They seemed to be ignoring the questions and answers and were busy doing something, their heads bent over, their hands moving on their laps. Typing, Cree wondered, instead of recording what was being said? Just like kids, he thought, more than a little disgusted. Twittering in the middle of the conference. Nick Matrenko's hands were shaking as he and Rachel put together the plastic pistol that Didi had brought with her. Just as Walt had predicted, they had gotten the gun through the security scanners by breaking it down to three separate pieces, carried by the three of them. Now they had to put it together, while the Starman was standing up at the head of the room answering questions. "Not for much longer," Nick told himself. "As soon as we get this pistol together, I'm going to shoot the traitor, this big shot who sold us out to the aliens."
"Rise and strike," he heard Walt's voice in his head. "Rise and strike."
"I'm going to be famous," Nick thought happily.
Jordan was standing at the head of the studio behind a lectern that had been set up on a makeshift platform, answering their questions. A large, seriously overweight man rose slowly to his feet as if the struggle against gravity took all his strength.
"Tad Chatsworth of Chatsworth's Chat Corner," he identified himself.
Jordan nodded and smiled.
"Why should we believe you?" Chatsworth challenged, his jolly face dead serious. "Why should we believe that these aliens are friendly and want to help us? What if there's no death wave and it's only a scheme by those aliens to take us over?"
Dead silence for several heartbeats. Then someone in the crowd of correspondents giggled. "The death wave is very real," Jordan said, his tone somber, grave. "I wish it weren't, but it is. Some of our world's best astronomers have reviewed the evidence that the astronomers of New Earth have amassed, and they unanimously agree that the wave of lethal gamma radiation is spreading across the Milky Way galaxy at the speed of light."
"Evidence can be faked," Chatsworth said.
"You should talk with the astronomers. They're convinced. I am too."
"I just don't believe it. I don't believe you."
As politely as he could manage, Jordan asked, "And just what is it that you do believe?"
"I believe the aliens are trying to take us over, and you're helping them. Your name has just been placed in nomination for next year's World Council elections. You want to be head of the council, and from there you'll let the aliens take over our solar system."
Before Jordan could reply, a younger man in the rear of the room jumped to his feet and aimed a pistol at him.